Chapter 18. The rain's not gonna stop, is it? Mitali asked with a groan. I wanted to see the dragonettes again. It was what all the campers were thinking. They were supposed to go outside for the campfire and the return of the luminous dragonettes. But the rain had become heavy, stormy even. Everyone was damp and cold from the walk over, and now they were clustered in the great hall. Nori kept Rory warm in her hoodie pocket. She'd considered hiding Rory in the cabin, but she couldn't make herself do it. What if Rory got lonely or lost? The hoodie was safest. Nori would be extra sneaky around grown-ups. That was all. Nearby, Mitali directed her heating magic at the area where she, Nori, Willa, Anemone, and Marigold were sitting. Nori could actually feel her hair drying from Mitali's glow. Rory even fell asleep. Tip, Andres, and Sebastian were playing cards, and Sebastian wasn't wearing his head cone, even though the hall was noisy. Instead, he wore dark aviator goggles with blinders. He looked proud and self-conscious, both. He also looked, well, not like a boy wearing a dog cone around his head. Blade let me have a pair, Nori heard Sebastian explain. He says the dragonologists wear them for flying at top speed. He said I could keep them. They're mad cool, Tip said. Sebastian pushed the goggles higher on his nose with his forefinger. He swallowed and said, The cone irritated the back of my neck. I appreciate your goggles suggestion. So, you know, thanks. Nori spotted Elliot sitting with Fred. They were debating whether or not the tangerines would like honeydew melon. It's green, Elliot argued. I think they like orange things. It's still a melon, Fred countered. I think they like melons. I wonder if they'd like orange cheese, wondered Elliot. Or orange sherbet? Nori glowed. Sure, everyone was disappointed about the rain, but it was cozy in the Great Hall. Dunwoodle kids were hanging out with Sage kids. The cafeteria staff had supplied after-dinner snacks. Carrot sticks, raisins, and spicy cheese zingers. Also Dragon Ball soda, plumberry, and cherry bubblegum. Nori heard Father's name mentioned, and her ears pricked up. She looked around, but she didn't spot him. He'd been here a couple of minutes ago, sitting on a bench over to one side, but now he was nowhere to be seen. That didn't mean he wasn't in the room, of course. Father went invisible a lot.
Such a McFoozle, Fuchsia said, talking to a group of Sage kids.
Tip puffed out his chest, pulled his mouth into a sour lemon frown, walked over to Fuchsia, and said in his best headmaster voice,
Now, Tipperton McPipperton, you are here to learn about dragons, not to engage in idle chit-chat. If you work hard and do as you're told.
Fuchsia laughed, and so did Fred and Anemone, walking over to the group. It made Nori suspect that her father had actually said those exact words in front of everybody.
Indeed, said Fuchsia, jumping into the game.
She took on a headmaster voice, too.
Work hard and do as you're told, and you can accomplish anything, young man. But take a minute to make friends. Spend 1 minute having fun, and you're sure to be a total failure. If you want to succeed, you must listen to...
The dreadfully boring words that spill so freely from my McFoozley mouth, Fred filled in.
Nori's stomach hurt. She wasn't sure what McFoozley meant exactly, but she suspected it wasn't a compliment.
He's so serious all the time, Anemone moaned. Once, when I failed a math test, I got sent to his office. He lectured me about how I should appreciate the most noble of disciplines, as if my knowing geometry honestly mattered to him. He did this thing with his mouth like a toad.
Laughter rippled around the group of kids, louder and louder. Nori's pulse pounded in her brain. The Sage students flung insults at her father with abandon.
giddy and rambunctious.
A toad! A boar! Such a McFoozle!
Nori bolted up, slamming her palms on the table.
Stop it! Just stop it!
Everyone did. Everyone stared at her, eyes and eyes and eyes.
Dr. Horace is Nori's dad, Mitali said, so everyone could hear.
She shot Nori an anxious, apologetic look.
Oh, no,
Tip said, cradling his head in his hands.
He's still a McFoozle,
Fuchsia muttered.
He is not, Nori cried, glaring at Fuchsia. He's very smart. He's a powerful flicker, and he works super, super hard.
She swept her gaze around the room to include all the Sage students.
He cares about knowledge. He cares about Sage Academy. He cares about you.
She pinned her stare on Anemone and said,
It really does matter to him that you know geometry.
Anemone blushed. Nori knew how hard her father worked. She had seen him planning the curriculum at the desk in his home office, back when Nori still lived with him in Nutmeg. She knew he stayed up late having phone meetings. He worked on schedules and improvements for the school. She thought of the pictures she'd seen of father with mother, taken back before mother had died. He had smiled big smiles once upon a time. When she spoke, her voice was thick.
He loves his job because his job is all he's got. His wife, my mom, she died. Now he's a single dad. He cleans and cooks and makes sure his kids do their homework. He goes to every event at the school. He meets with parents on weekends if they want to. He goes to sports competitions and magic exhibitions at Sage. So maybe there's not much time left for fun and games and silliness. And I know he's not always that nice, but he's doing the best he can, okay? You're lucky to have someone running your school who cares about education. Lots of kids don't have that. So quit being so mean.
Her muscles trembled. She spun on her heel and rushed away from the table. She needed a moment to herself. She stepped into an empty alcove lined with books. There, she closed her eyes and pressed her fisted hands against them. She felt a change in the air pressure.
Nori, her father said.
He made himself visible and put his hand on her shoulder.
Will you look at me, please?
Slowly, Nori dropped her hands from her eyes. She turned around but kept her gaze on the floor.
Did you hear what I said to those kids just now?
She asked. Father took Nori's chin and tilted her face upward.
I did. That was good of you.
Thanks.
My job is not all I've got since your mother died, he said gruffly. I have my kids. They mean a lot to me. That includes you.
Nori felt shaky all over.
You hardly ever talk to me, she said. I know I embarrass you.
You didn't embarrass me just now, even though you did say I wasn't very nice. I was proud to hear you stand up for your family.
I do stand up for you. I mean, I did and I will, said Nori. But Father, you don't stand up for me.
Nonsense, he said, sounding defensive. I hope you know I pay for your after-school kitten ball. I send Aunt Margot money every month. I sent her extra this month for a new winter jacket and some other warm gear. You know that, correct? And it's all because I want you to have an education that fits your upside-down magic.
That's not the problem, said Nori. The problem is you don't call or text. You've only visited once, and I could tell you were embarrassed at my concert because you didn't even come out for ice cream afterward. You sent me one present that Dahlia actually picked out. And since we've been at Dragonhaven, you haven't come to tuck me in once or meet my friends or see my cabin.
Nori, Father said sternly, I am working. Mr. Pouture is here and several other important members of our faculty.
We are endeavoring to instill the values of Sage Academy in our new fifth graders. Any chaos or upside-down mayhem will disrupt my authority. Especially with Putur. He's not easy to work with.
Father!
What?
There was so much Nori might have said just then. She could have told him that no matter how busy he was, he could spare 10 minutes out of his day to spend time with his kid. She could have told him that there might be opportunities for Sage students to learn from a little chaos and upside-down mayhem. She could have told him he shouldn't care what Mr. Putur thought, and that the students would respect him more if he showed himself to be a headmaster who was also a dad. She could have said, and maybe she should have said,
"You should let everyone know that you don't love your stupid school more than you love me."
She stopped herself before saying any of it. She took a deep breath and looked him in the eye. "I get it," she told him. "Work is important to you."
She didn't really get it,
but she realized she might never get Father, and he might never get her. He had his priorities wrong. He got embarrassed easily. He didn't like to mix work life and home life. He didn't like talking about feelings or difficult topics. He wasn't affectionate. Even though he was smart and hardworking, he was only a middling good dad. Maybe he was even a lame dad. Yeah, Nori would like Father to be fun and generous. She wished he'd be nice to Ms. Starr and that he wanted to meet her friends. She wished he could see there were advantages to upside-down magic, as well as difficulties. But he wasn't going to be that person. Maybe ever. Tiny changes and being nice to each other were probably all the two of them were going to manage.
"All right, then," said Father. "Thanks for understanding about my job. I gather you'd like me to call you now and then to see how you're doing?"
"Yes," said Nori, feeling this was a big step for him. "I think you should call me once a week on Saturday morning." She knew he liked schedules. Father took out his phone. He programmed it in. "Phone call with Nori." He smiled wryly. "I suspect those kids are a little bit right. Maybe sometimes I am a mick." He broke off, unable to say such a silly word. He rubbed his hand across his hair. "Do I care what my students think of me? Yes, a little. But a headmaster's job is not a popularity contest. And I am who I am." Nori nodded. That was definitely true. Then she had a brilliant idea.
"You are who you are. Do you realize what that means?"
Father regarded her skeptically. She plunged on.
"Father, you're a really strong flicker."
"I am," he acknowledged.
"Which means you can save the night. Everyone's bummed about not seeing the luminous dragonettes again because of the rain."
"It is unfortunate," he said. "They're a natural wonder."
"But Father, you could make the walls of the Great Hall invisible," Nori said. "I doubt there's another flicker here who's powerful enough. Would you, please?"
"The students could observe the luminous dragonettes after all," Father said, understanding. "Seeing them in the rain would reinforce what we read about dragonette behavior patterns in different weather patterns."
"Sure. And they're beautiful."
"They are. They're beautiful indeed." He tapped his chin. Let me talk to Ms. Cho." He strode off, stepping easily back into the role of brisk, efficient headmaster. 5 minutes later, Mo called for everyone's attention. When the room was silent, she said,
"We have an unusual treat for you tonight."
Excited murmurs rippled up and down.
"Thanks to Dr. Horace," Mo continued, "we will be able to see the luminous dragonettes after all. They don't mind the rain, and now we won't mind it either." She turned to Nori's father. "Are you ready?"
Nori's father raised his hands, palms turned up. Students, direct your attention to the walls, please. Puzzled, everyone did. Father glanced at Mo, who turned off the lights. The room went dark. Everyone gasped. And then the room was filled with light. Not from inside the room, but from the world beyond the room. Nori's father had made the entire structure of the Great Hall invisible, furniture included, and now hundreds of glowing dragonettes could be seen swooping and looping outside. Trails of orange, blue, purple, and green made intricate patterns in the night sky. Everyone was awestruck. Nori could see it on each face she looked at. Spontaneously, the room burst into applause. The luminous dragonettes shimmered and shone. Raindrops reflected their glowing, multicolored bodies. Nori made her way to her father and stood beside him. Father looked down at her and smiled. After a moment's hesitation, he put his hand on her shoulder.